Welcome to Q&A with TNK. They've surfed the interwebs. They've contemplated, ruminated, and speculated. They've checked the teletype, and now they're ready to answer your questions.
Hello, and welcome to Q&A with TNK. I'm Kristen.
Tiffany.
I'm Tiffany.
And Kristen.
If you have not listened to us before, we take questions and we answer them.
Yep.
And we need your questions. So you can like send us a Facebook message through Upstairs Studio. We also have an email address, Tiffany.
Q4TandK@gmail.com.
Awesome.
It's like, so you can send a question for Tiffany and Kristen. That's how you can remember it.
We need questions.
We do.
Anything you think of, just like get online, and you can even like personally message us too. I'm Kristen Bolton Peterson on Facebook, and she's Tiffany Pearsall.
Yep.
So, creep
us. Hunt us down.
We want your questions. So, this question. I don't even know if we have it formulated in a question.
Our last episode, we talked about STEM in preschool, and we started talking about DIY self-serve stations. And I feel like this is more your question. Kristen, what's your question?
Right. So the question is, how do you incorporate DIY into your program? Do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. And this is from the kids, not the teachers' perspective.
Yes.
Because teachers do a lot of DIY already.
Right. I really want to know more because Tiffany does a DIY paint station. And so we're going to incorporate that into our program next year. And I want to know how she does it. And then we started talking about DIY tea making and DIY oobleck making or glurch or flubber, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And so we have all these things. So we're going to chit chat a little bit about how Tiffany does it in her program and then throw out some ideas of how we think it could work.
Sounds good. Can you see me? My screen is turning on and off.
I can
like
see
crazy.
You. It's okay. Just blinking.
It's blinking.
So tell me about your DIY paint.
DIY paint is pretty straightforward. We have, those like, I don't know, they're probably 16 ounces or so squeeze bottles of tempera paint.
Yes.
So like handheld size, not the giant jug.
Yep. Okay.
We have a little bin with all of our colors of handheld size.
Okay.
In it. And next to that, we have what we call the container bin, which is just a giant tub full of little paint cups and muffin tins and the little baby muffin tins.
Yeah.
The like little, they're mini. Like size of a half dollar or something.
Yes. Mini muffin pan.
Little mini muffin pan. And the muffin tins are usually six holes.
Mm-hmm. What about the mini muffin tin? Those aren't six holes, are they?
Those are six, too.
Oh, they are? Where'd you find those?
Joann's. But they're not they're plastic. They're white plastic in the paint section. They just look like
mini. Oh, so there's
just
like a tiny little hole.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, yeah. I know what you're talking about. A paint palette.
Yeah, a little paint palette. But these are like little cuties.
Yes. I've seen them. They're rectangular and they have six spots.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we have those two things next to each other. And the kids just go and get the paint and get out a muffin tin. Put whatever paint in. Sometimes if they're really feeling the color mixing, one kid will bring all of the paints onto a table and just like get out a million cups.
And then just mix.
And then just mix. It's so much fun.
That is so cool.
I like that there's the limiting factor of the size of paint.
Yes.
So you're not going to go through a whole jug of paint. Because that's a lot of money to blow through every day.
Exactly.
And I agree that kids should have more and have, you know, as much as they need. I totally agree with that concept.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that there are, like, more aspects to paint than pouring all of it in.
Right.
It's fun to get to that point where you've poured it all out. Now what do you do?
Right.
I think it's important to get to that point. And it happens. So with those smaller paint things, we have a whole bunch more across the hall. So we refill them all the time.
Right. So what would you do?
It's a manageable amount.
What would you do if somebody just, okay, And I've already kind of thought through this, so I know, I think I know what I would do, because I try to think about these DIY stations and like what happens in the event of, and try to think ahead so that we know how to, you know, decide if this is really right for us or not. So what would you do if somebody just sat there and squeezed all of the paint out of a jug? What do you do in that?
Well, the jugs case? Aren't in the classroom.
Do you mean like squeeze the bottle, the little handheld squeeze bottle?
It happens, man. And then a lot of times I'll have that STEM moment where I'm like, it looks like your muffin tin's full. Do you need another cup? Or are you ready to paint? Because I think that that's an interesting, there's a lot of interesting things that happen when you let kids go to town with paint.
Right.
Like, so he didn't even, like, there's one kid who loves to pour paint, and he didn't even realize, he doesn't see that it's full.
It's so in that case, would it be an okay thing to say, oh, like in your head, it looks like they're really enjoying the pouring aspect of this, the squeezing out of the bottle. Could you offer them something different so they're not being wasted? I mean, I don't want to say that it's wasting paint, but if that's all they're getting out of it is the squeezing and they don't really actually care that what's happening to it afterwards, can you just say now, I mean, could you talk to them about being more diligent about not wasting something? Like, this is kind of being wasteful of our supplies. And if you, you know, if you really want to squeeze something, let's squeeze this over here. Like, here's a bottle with something else in it that's maybe just water, or with a little bit of liquid watercolor in it or something, so that they can squeeze. I don't know. I mean, I'm only being a devil's advocate, kind of, because there's a lot of programs out there that can't afford to go through paint like that.
I would say if you are one of those programs, use smaller paint containers to start with.
Okay.
I like to think about what is the limiting factor. I talk about that a lot in art stuff.
Yes.
So if paint is the thing that you're worried about, how do you limit the use of the paint in a way that the children are still in control of it?
Okay.
So I would just get smaller paint bottles.
Good.
So if he squeezes it all out,
there you go.
Then you can say, hey, do you want to refill this? Like, let's put it back in and re-squeeze if it's the squeezing. Or, I don't know. I've never felt in that case, maybe move having a kid away from that experience.
Right. Maybe having some little funnels there so that they can funnel the paint back into the container.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, doesn't it?
I would do that anyway. Yeah.
I know. So then teaching them how to get it back into the container so that they can squeeze it again.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I know that there probably are a lot of programs out there that say, oh, no way, I'm not going to waste my... And I don't want to say waste, because for some programs, that's not wasting. But for some who have to pay for that paint out of their own pocket, they don't want to see it all being squeezed out onto the floor and then having to be wiped up with a washcloth. Yeah. I don't know. So it's kind of something to think about in your program, if how you want to go about DIY and what happens if. So it's definitely something to think through.
And maybe another option would be like a soap bottle squeeze pump.
Yes.
How do you allow for the children that are using the paint in the quote unquote right way, which I don't necessarily agree with, but how do you allow for that use and also give yourself enough time so that you notice when a kid is more interested in the pump than the paint?
Right.
Because you can only pump out so much at once. That's what I mean by limiting factor.
Exactly.
You can only pump out so much at once before a teacher notices.
Right.
And as a teacher, you can say, wow, you're really into that pump.
Pumping. So here why don't you pump this over here? Here's some water or whatever you want to put in there.
I want to think about what is something that is consumable. I consider paint a consumable. You just use it. It's like anything, you know.
Yeah.
It's limitless in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to go through a whole jug of paint in our classroom.
It is.
Also. Yes. I don't know why. We use a ton of paint.
Me too. We just were like restocking after the school year, and we realized that we have like 8 jugs of paint on our shelf that have not even been opened yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Paint. I think it's very different too if you're not doing crafts. If you're a school that does crafts, you blow through supplies 500 times faster than any child could squeeze it out of your jug.
Right.
Until you realize that, like, that's a whole different conversation. But
crafts.
I want to know about what's a consumable that could take the place of paint that has a similar texture to paint.
Right.
And a similar, because there's also that permanence that's exciting about it.
Exactly.
Because I think a kid squeezing out water is like, well, it's just water.
But what could you paint, add to water, like, to make it thicker?
Yeah. Same reason we love permanent markers in our classroom. It just feels so powerful.
Yes.
And that's what I'm going for with DIY stations. It feels powerful.
It does. You're in control of it and you decide. You decide.
Yeah. And as a teacher, I've already put out what I'm comfortable with.
Exactly.
I'm not going to put out. Yeah. No. I'm not going to put out more paint than I'm comfortable with them pouring on the floor at once.
Right. So for us, we talked about how we want to do DIY paint next year. And so we're trying to decide the type of bottles. Do we do like the soap pumper squeezer, like the pumper ones, or do we do like the handheld ones that you just buy and put them out? Or do we purchase like ketchup bottles, you know, like clear ketchup bottle type things that you would find at a restaurant and put it in there? But we also are trying to decide the container, the situation for the containers, because we're not necessarily comfortable putting out a whole muffin tin yet, because we want to see like how much they will be squeezing and using. So we purchased mini muffin, silicone mini muffin, things that we're actually going to cut into sections of 6 or 4 or 3 or 8. And then they can kind of decide how big, how many different colors they want. And they can choose a mini muffin silicone thing based on that. And then fill that many trays with that many muffin holes with paint. So that was an idea that we had. Because we thought maybe those mini paint palettes wouldn't be big enough yet.
It's definitely the older kids that it requires moving from that mixing and experimenting with paint step to using the paint for another purpose.
Exactly. When, like, I'm going to use this color. I have this in mind, so I'm only going to need a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's definitely where the sixers come
from. There's a whole entire cycle, it sounds like, with the paint, based on developmental level. Yeah. So some kids are going to be at that. If you have a mixed age class, some of those kids are going to be using the tiny little trays where they just squirt a little bit onto, and there's going to be the kids who like just squirt and leave.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a whole process. So it'll be a really interesting process to watch, like how it starts out at the beginning of the year and to follow it through to the end of the year and see where it ends. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
Experiment. This is
why I'm fascinated by developmental continuums.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all kids start at trying to figure out how to open the paint container.
Yeah.
And looking at it and looking at you like, I can really do this.
Can I squeeze this all on my own?
Is this okay? And the ones that are more precocious look at you and squeeze and they're like, I'm doing this. And you're like, yeah, you are. Go ahead.
I love it. All right. I love this idea. So a do-it-yourself tea station. Tell me more about that. How could that work?
Well, we have a very rudimentary one at the moment where I have a pot of hot water.
Okay.
And the kids come in the morning and decide what flavor of tea they want from our decaf variety.
Yes.
And we put the bag in, and then some of them pour on their own. Some of them want help. They get a little honey.
I love this.
It's really cute.
It is really cute. I can see that next year I'm going to be teaching forest school, and that's the only class I'm going to be teaching. But how magical would that be to when you show up at the forest to get your tea in a to-go cup and then hike through the woods with your tea like an adult would?
It's wonderful.
Oh, my gosh.
And honestly, with the tea station, the first few days, the kids were really into it. And by the end, they weren't so much into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the beginning of the school year, it's very nice and helps a lot. Well, I hope it will help a lot with some of the separation anxiety problems, because it's like you're coming to school to do this ritual that's warm. And you immediately have a sense of power and ownership and just like a very... I mean, tea is a ritual for adults for a reason. Why is it not for kids?
I like that a lot. So then you could incorporate that into the outdoors, like with sun tea and Like, isn't there a tea you can make with, like, dandelion? Dandelion tea? I don't even know. Yeah. I don't know anything about tea. I'm not a tea drinker.
I don't know a lot about making your own teas. I know that we made moon tea at garden camp last year.
Oh.
This cool garden camp I volunteered at the Springdale Community Garden, if you're familiar. They got a bunch of, like, calendula flowers, and they had the kids pick a bunch of these certain flowers, and then they left it out overnight, just steeping. And it was delicious. Mint. Huh. Put some mint in there.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's so cool.
But know what you're doing. Don't just, like, pick crazy flowers and put them in.
Exactly. You don't want to do that and poison the kids.
Poison
not
yourself
good.
And the kids. Yeah.
I poisoned your child with our dandelion root tea today. I'm so sorry.
Talk to me about DIY bread making station. Okay. That sounds really hard.
I can't remember exactly. I'm almost thinking this was a Pinterest thing for me.
Is it Sally? Is it Sally School that does it?
I don't know. We'll have to look that up. So bread making. So what I'm thinking would be super cool is that you teach children how to read a recipe and have, I mean, if it's a simple little recipe that they can follow on their own, like, that could be super cool for them to have the recipe there and to just put it out and see what they do to start. And they may end up, there may be some kids who follow recipes at home with their mother and say, ah, here's the recipe. And I can, like, if it's simple and the ingredients are labeled on the containers and it's labeled on the recipe, to be able to see children make that connection, like, oh, it's saying that I need this much of this and this much of this. And if there's a way you can make it more simplistic for the preschool level, a DIY bread making station would be amazing to be able to knead the dough and then put it on a pan and bake it and then actually eat it. Like, that would be really cool. And there is somewhere that does this.
I think it is a Little Patch of Earth preschool.
Okay.
I think it's Sally School. Check out their school. It's beautiful.
Yes. I'd love to get out there someday and visit.
Oh, me too.
Is she coming to UnCon this year?
Oh, gosh, I hope so. Sally, you're coming to UnCon?
Yeah, hey, Sally.
Do you think she can hear us?
I don't know.
If we shout it.
Sally, in California, come to UnCon. So we got, what about Play-Doh?
Oh, Play-Doh's hard.
Have you tried it?
I've tried it. I've never had it really work. Just because it's hard enough to get a grown-up to make a good batch of Play-Doh. I think it would be more for the experience of the kids.
Exactly. I was just going to say, is it more for the process?
Of Play-Doh. Yeah.
Right. Just to be able to mix those things together and see what happens.
Yeah. Because to really make good Play-Doh, you have to have boiling hot water.
Yeah.
Like, put on that glove and really get it going so the salt gets all distributed nice. And yeah.
So you also mentioned that you do a DIY oobleck or flubber with the kids. So tell us about what you set out for that.
I set out bowls of liquid starch and glue bottles. Like, who cares? Just like you said, if it's the process, not the product.
Yeah.
If the goal is for them to play and mix, which is what our group was really into when we did this, then play and mix.
If
the goal is to have a thing to play with, like if the goal is to have Play-Doh and build with it, if that's what the kids are into, then make the Play-Doh for them. But if the goal is the mixing and the creating and the building, then by all means, build.
Exactly. Ugh. You are just like such a wealth of information. I love talking to you.
Oh, you flatter me too much.
So many things. What about do-it-yourself art supplies? Like that's something that we do is we just have everything out that they can use and they can use it in whatever way they want. However, we find that sometimes it's so overwhelming for kids. They have no idea how to just hone in on something and create something. So we've often put out prompts where, by that, I mean, we set out a collection of items on the table with some glue, scissors, tape, and then just let them go to town with what's on the table. And we find that they generally choose only what's on the table and not what's on the shelves.
Really?
Yeah. So tell me about like how that looks in your program.
We just bought a new art shelf.
Yeah.
We went to see Michael Lehman.
Yeah.
From
Roseville Community.
Yeah. Roseville Community Preschool. And we saw pictures. By we, I mean Nikki, my partner.
Mm-hmm.
she saw pictures of how they have everything laid out in those, like, I don't know how to describe them. They're like the bins that hold screws in a tool shop.
Okay, yeah.
They have all of their art supplies laid out. And Nikki looked over at me and she said, we have to do this.
So is it like little tiny drawers? Or is it like those yellow little separator crates for tools?
They're like yellow separator crates. We just got it. I just put everything in it yesterday. That's how fresh out.
Ooh.
Fresh off the press I am with this. And we have all of our art supplies in there. And we tried not to make it overwhelming. So instead of having all of the glue sticks, we have like 6 glue sticks.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We have all the googly eyes and everything in there. All the paint brushes and everything. With the idea being that now we have an official table for art. We have a really tiny classroom also.
Yeah.
Very small. And so we're trying to work in an art table so that kids can leave the art out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we can paint all the time without having this like, well, there's only 5 more minutes until snack. And like, we have to have the tables clean. And
Oh, yeah. I like this idea of a permanent art table with. Yep.
Whatever. Yeah. I think it'll be more inviting than a quote unquote writing station, which is what we've had for a while with like all the writing supplies. This will have everything.
Right.
With that being said, have you done a DIY snack before?
We do. We do, but I want to do it even a little bit different next year. There are a lot of days in my full day, Tuesday, Thursday class when we're here all day where, you know, as soon as we hear the first child say, I'm hungry, we get out a self-serve snack. So it's come when you're hungry style snack. So we set it out at the table with a pitcher and glasses and they pour their own water, milk, and then they can... Usually there's like, you know, whatever is for snacks. So if it's like a bowl of oranges, they take their orange and they peel it themselves. Or if it's a bowl of crackers, we put the little measuring cup in there so that they take a scoop and put it on a little plate or a napkin and then they help themselves. So, but we don't have like 17 things for them to choose from because we have the kids bring snack, like one family brings snack for the whole class each day. So, we usually, it's 2 food groups for our snacks. So it's usually like a grain or dairy or a fruit or a vegetable. So we get like a grain and a vegetable, or we'll get a dairy and a fruit. And so we've got 2 food groups and, they take what they want.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
But if it's like something where the parents only brought, you know, 25 cheese sticks, there you can only have 1 cheese stick. But then we generally try to like pair that. Hopefully the parent had brought something like Goldfish crackers or something that they can have a lot of if they need a lot of them.
Yeah.
How about you?
Our kids bring food from home most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the afternoon, we really do a free for all. Like when you're hungry, get it out and eat it. You're hungry, get it out. It's been hard, honestly, with that afternoon snack because a lot of the kids don't get hungry until 5 minutes before pickup.
Right.
So do I let you eat now?
Right.
So you're in a better mood when you get picked up?
Right.
Or do you wait 5 minutes and then eat on the way home? Like what's...
Right.
It's such an awkward time.
And that is...
So there's almost that, like, I'd almost rather have everybody get their snack out at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I know it's done. But then only like 3 kids are hungry at that time. And the rest of them are like, if I get out a snack, well, we provided a snack this year. But if they choose for our snack, they pick it and they throw it away because they're not hungry.
Right.
And we waste a ton of food and a ton of money.
Exactly.
It's frustrating.
Totally.
Haven't worked out all the kinks on that one yet.
If you have suggestions for Tiffany, let her know.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are some other DIY stations? DIY water? Right. Do you let kids
DIY water outside.
Yeah. Well,
and we do it inside. We always have cups sitting next to the faucet of course, for when kids are thirsty. But we do DIY outside. I have to tell you a really funny story about this. So we have this huge, you know, Rubbermaid, I don't know if it's Rubbermaid, thermos. It's probably a big, huge orange water cooler thing.
Oh,
with a little
yeah.
spout on the bottom that's white that you push and the water uh-huh. comes out. Uh-huh. So we have one of those and we lug that outside with cold water in it and put little Dixie cups next to it. Because state law, here's another dumb state law, is we have to use single service cups for water. They can't drink out of a water bottle.
What?
Yup. I know. So we are, it's like, seriously, we go through sometimes, well, a whole box of Dixie cups a day.
Can you use reusable cups?
We can't because we are not a licensed kitchen, so we can't technically wash their cups for them.
Oh.
That's so dumb.
That is so dumb.
Anyway, so we put the cups out there with the big water cooler. So we, and then the cool thing is that like a line automatically forms and they organize themselves in the line to get the water and they wait for their turn. Well, there was one last year when we brought it out. It was probably the second time that we had brought it out. And it was right away in the fall. We had a little boy who could not figure out how to get the water out of it. And he started to have like a little bit of a, you know, meltdown. And so we, you know, trying to say, well, ask a friend to show you how they do it. And so one little boy was standing behind him. He sticks his thumb up in the air and gives him like the thumbs up. And I was thinking, well, he needs more than that. And then he looked at him and the little kid looked at him like, what in the world? Like, why are you showing me your thumb right now? And he goes, use your thumb to press it down. And so then he showed him how to use your thumb because your thumb is very strong to push the little button down to get the water out. So it was kind of funny. So that's just a cute story about self-serve water.
What about self-serve hose use, not to drink?
Oh, like, yeah, we do that too. Yeah. We do self-serve hose. But we also have some issues with flooding in our outdoor classroom. So we let them use the hose. Well, kids can drink out of it in our program. Some programs don't allow that, but they can use it to drink out of. They can fill buckets with it. They fill all of their stuff with it. But when they're done, we teach, you know, you got to turn it off. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
I started with dog licks this year.
Yeah.
My friend Stephanie showed me her dog licks. Do you know about these? They're like a giant guinea pig dispenser.
Okay.
So you have to like push on an end to get water out and it comes out in kind of a little slow stream.
Oh.
So when we started our DIY hose use situation, we started out with that. And now the kids just use the full hose all the time.
Oh my gosh.
We have a little attachment on the end of the hose.
Okay.
And let's talk about literacy development. All of our kids know how to read jet and shower.
Ooh.
You can rotate between the two.
Yeah.
So if you're filling up one of our watering cans with a small hole, you have to put it on jet and line it up just right or it'll spray you in the face. And if you're doing anything else, you want to use the shower.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, when you have like DIY stations, I feel like the literacy component becomes like super relevant because in order to be able to accomplish what they want to accomplish, there may be some directions they have to follow that are written down.
Yeah.
Like that jet versus stream, or if it's reading a very simplistic recipe and matching it with the ingredients, that becomes huge.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful. Like we were saying, it's a super powerful thing for children to be able to take control of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Huge learning taking place.
I love it. I love it.
All right.
We ready for what
would you do?
What would you do? Kristen.
Yes.
You have been squeezing paint all over everywhere.
I have been?
Everybody. You're part of it too.
Everybody.
You're in the classroom. There are some kids still doing the paint project.
Yes.
And the good sink is in the hallway.
Okay.
And so there are kids walking out to the hallway and washing their hands, which is like, you know, up to your elbows in paint, washing their hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And partway through this process, someone pops their head into your classroom and says, come here for a minute. You walk over. And then they say, there's paint everywhere. What are you doing? What do you say?
What do I say?
Yeah.
I would say, well, we're painting. And sometimes paint gets all over everything. But don't worry. We'll clean it up when we're done. We're learning. I think that's what I would say. I would just point out that we're painting. And I would try to do it in a very nice way.
Okay. Part
and
two.
I would probably apologize for the mess because that's just the way I am. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, we will get it cleaned up. Don't worry.
Here's the kicker. Part two of this. What would you
okay.
do? You later find out that they have installed a security camera outside of the sink. And you are able to, Veronica Mars style, watch the footage of your kids doing nothing but beautifully cleaning up their hands and there's not paint anywhere. What would you do then?
Oh my. So you know that there's not paint anywhere, but they're saying there's paint everywhere? Well, the first thing I would think I would do is I would show them what paint everywhere really looks like by just doing it myself or like covertly shoving children out there with paint everywhere and like making them get it everywhere so that they actually know what paint everywhere looks like. That's what the mean person in me would want to do, but I don't think I would actually do that. I don't know. Maybe paint the camera.
Paint the camera? What does the poor tech guy have to do anything?
Who installed the camera? Them or you?
Neither.
Oh.
Somebody else who is trying to catch the vandal who keeps drawing crazy penises all over the boys' bathroom. Who's clearly not a preschooler. Because if that happened, I would be like, whoa, that's amazing!
I know.
How did you do that?
How did you do it? Yes. Oh my goodness. I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I think I would just smile and just say, this is what 3, 4, and 5-year-olds do. Like sometimes they make a mess, but I'm perfectly able to clean it up when they're done. What
very,
happened?
Very good diplomatic answer.
Did you?
My response was, give me a friggin' sink if you don't want to deal with it. No, that's not what I said.
We need a sink, better sink in our classroom.
Yeah, a sink in our classroom.
Oh, you don't have a sink at all?
No.
Oh, my. We have two. We have one, like, kid height, and then we have one teacher height. Wow. Yeah, you need a sink.
Yeah. I can't believe there was a security camera to snoop on my kids, though. That was amazing.
I can't believe there was either. That's insane. And there was no paint everywhere.
No, there wasn't even any on the soap dispenser. They had used their elbow.
Oh, my goodness.
I was picturing, like, everywhere. Clearly, right. Clearly
like
the concept
smear prints
of everywhere.
On the walls and like under the sink and on
like
the faucet.
Rubbing all the, yeah. Like
tripped
running
up
all
the
around
floor.
The floor. Yeah. No. Nope. They weren't even messing around. The kids were just like, well, I'm washing my hands. I'm washing my hands.
Oh, funny. Weird people. All right. Well, Tiffany.
Well, Kristen.
It's been fun. See you next time on
Q&A with T and K.
Bye.
This has been Q&A with T and K. Thank you for listening. From serious to silly, Tiffany and Kristen are eager to answer your questions. Just email them to q4tnk@gmail.com. That's q4tandk@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Kurt Pearsall, Tiffany's sweet, sweet hubby.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.